I have pressed the record button, so we're starting to record. Tonight is the meeting of the WORT Board of Directors. It's February 21st, 2018, and I'm calling the meeting to order. All of the directors are present. Also present in the room are Nathan McQuillan and Dan Lippitt and Glenn Mitroff, thank you, Glenn. And do we have any other guests yet? Okay. Okay. We might be joined by others. Are there any comments from the guests here in the room? Or, okay. We have distributed some copies of the minutes of the last meeting, of the January meeting. Can we accept those minutes as written, or does anybody have any changes?
One slight correction. Copywriter should be changed to copy to Asia. I think that moves approval.
Second.
All in favor?
That's how
you can hear. We're moving and seconding to approve the minutes.
Copyrighted to what are you changing?
Copy editor.
So do you want to do an agenda?
Yeah.
Where is it? He's asking where is it in the agenda. I mean, I don't know.
It's the second paragraph. I think there's two pages.
So Stuart suggested a minor change to the minutes, changing in the third paragraph from the bottom, changing the word copywriter to the word copy editor. And there's been a motion to adopt with that change, and it was seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Are there any abstentions? So we've adopted that. Announcements. Anybody have an announcement of new and exciting and different things?
Sunday is the Jimmy Buffett benefit, tribute band benefit at Harmony Bar 2 to 6 with Chuck Bayek and the Drunken Sailors. It's a $10 cover, wear your Hawaiian shirt. There's also $4 margaritas, and the proceeds from those, Brad from the Harmony is also donating to WORT, and I've also put together a prize raffle with some good prizes, so hope to have a good day on Sunday.
Where is it, the Harmony?
The Harmony. It'll be a kickoff to the pledge drive.
I should put that on there, too, pledge drive.
Oh, yeah, that's the next one. Pledge drive begins Monday. Different areas of help are needed. Obviously, pretty much everybody knows the score with Pledge Drive and has been through them. Mm-hmm. Some of you are hosts and hopefully have your shows together and you're a little special. I don't, but I'll get there. I'm second week.
So if you haven't been asked, find somebody's show if you want to pledge wrap or if you want to answer phones. I think there's still a few shifts left. Did we fill them all yet? I think we had like four.
Two late night shifts.
Okay.
Pretty phenomenal. This is the best we've ever been before a pledge drive. Low to radar, 11 to midnight on Friday, which we can get by without a
phone answer if we need to. The percentage of people who voted in the primary on Tuesday was a significantly higher number. I think it was 11% instead of 8%. So there's a lot of activity going on, and I'm hoping that that actually reflects on WORT in terms of people wanting to know what's going on in their local and state elections, and WORT is a good place to hear from candidates. I realized that I adopted the minutes before I adopted the agenda tonight, so I should ask if everybody's okay with this agenda as stated, or if anybody wants to add anything to the agenda in my backwards way of doing things here.
A chance to observe it.
We can add things to the end if something comes up. So,
we're still doing announcements?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Yeah, we're having a facilities working group meeting on Tuesday. And because it's during the pledge drive, we're not going to do it here. I think we're going to do it down the street, but we need to confirm that with them. What's that place called again?
Echo? Are you talking about the bar or what?
Down the street. The meeting.
Center for Change.
Yeah. Oh. Center for Change.
Yeah.
No, let's do the Echo. Just kidding.
The Center for Change, they locked the doors, I think, at
6.
6.
6 o'clock.
Okay.
I thought it was
5:30.
Oh.
It depends on who's the last person.
You just need to mm-hmm. check with them to see how late there'll be someone there if you're meeting later than when they close.
Yeah, because we planned for 7, so will that work?
No, that'd be a problem.
You'll have to have someone there.
You have to have someone there.
I had to sit there for an hour.
Yeah, I should have contacted them already, but
right.
I mean, worst case scenario, we can.
Yeah, that is the way that place works.
Location.
Try to schedule it earlier because basically they make it available because they're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there that community room you said in the CVS building, Doug?
Or you could do the library.
There's also the library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the library mm-hmm. closes. Oh, no,
yeah, you guys decide.
We should be able to get a room there.
Get back to everybody. Eh?
If we're not doing it on an ongoing basis, it doesn't require a contract or anything.
Right,
so
no, you just sign out a room.
Okay, so when you know, will you send a message out?
Yeah, we need to send a message out, like, tomorrow, just to remind people to the whole list.
Well, find out where you're going to do it, and then you only have to do
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I'm sure we'll be talking about the basement plug. Like that. But it's good now.
Mm-hmm. Further announcements? Nathan came up with a new idea for headphones, putting a connector on them and reducing the amount of time to repair.
Big news around that.
Yeah. Well, that's an item that gets a lot of attention because they break a lot. So, we did have a tech committee meeting yesterday, and we didn't have a lot of stuff on it. So, committee and staff reports. The executive committee met and talked about the idea of an outside accounting firm. We'll talk about that in item 7. The finance committee meeting happened, and we reviewed the financial statements. They were good. Stephen Lord was there, and I didn't mention him in the minutes, but he's there. I apologize. We've talked about setting aside some money as a reserve to start keeping track of a reserve as a separate line item. And depending on the outcome of this year is an unusual year. Pardon me. This year is an unusual year for finances because the tax law change and because we got our CBB money early. So It's probably a better year than normal, so it would be a good year to set some money aside as a reserve because we don't know what 2019 is going to look like. So a lot depends. Does somebody want to comment on the programming committee?
Can I just make
one comment? Yes, please.
When I first started as treasurer, I thought the finance committee meeting, the finance committee was sort of the treasurer's report. You and I talked about it, and I'm going to prepare a treasurer's report each month. It'll be a little concise. I was going to do it for today, but there were all kinds of circumstances. but I do have two things that I was going to talk about at the Finance Committee that I never got to because a timing belt broke on the vehicle I was driving. Two things that I'm going to discuss with the Finance Committee and other staff here. Dan gave me a document when I first started about good I don't know, operating procedures for finances in not-for-profit organizations, and I've been looking that over, and I think I've been able to identify some of the things that are being done, but we'll talk about that and see if there's any changes we need to make from that. And talking about changes, the second thing is I'm reading past audit reports, and we'll be talking about those on the Finance Committee and changes we might need to make. In the past, I've been through audit reports. Auditors make all kinds of suggestions. Some are to do with good accounting principles. They don't always apply to the organization you're in. So we'll go through those and see which ones we can do and see which ones we think are necessary and present that to the board in the future. So I'll keep you up to date on at least those two things in Treasurer's report.
Taking audit.
So just to reiterate, I think what you're saying is the Finance Committee is going to look at the auditor's suggestions and go through them one by one and determine which ones need attention and which ones we can sort of table or whatever are not necessarily as relevant to us.
Okay. Right. The audit still hasn't been completed, so we don't have a report to give you on that yet. So.
Right. These are past reports.
Right, right.
I got from the auditor. And our secretary.
Yeah. Got my mitts on
somehow. Okay. Any other comments on the Finance Committee? Then programming?
Yeah, the big news this month is that we finally approved our new charter, which was started because, I don't know, we got somehow.
I ran that by Doug, and Doug pointed out that we have requirements about how many days in advance we have to notify about meetings. Did you hear that feedback yet?
I think I saw the email, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a seven-day requirement for notices of all board committee meetings.
Yeah, so didn't Dylan say that he would change that? Or?
I think so.
So I don't know if we have a completed proposal to approve at this meeting or not. I don't think
no,
we do.
No, it's
and
going to,
no,
it's
go
going
to bylaws.
It's going to go bylaws first. Okay. Glenn has a comment after you, Stuart.
Did you see, prior to next board meeting.
Did you see my comment about quorum? I sent an email out about that.
Yep.
I think ex officio members cannot be considered part of quorum.
I don't understand that. They're ex officio means they're a member of the committee by virtue of the office they hold it. That's I don't know why they wouldn't be considered quorum.
I don't know. And that's just from the legal definition that I saw. But maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do that.
Like a definition that you saw internal to the station?
No. It's just on a website.
You know, his concern is pertinent to all the committees, in a way, to define who is a member of a committee and who is not. And you can have regular people who are participating. For instance, the Finance Committee, we have a couple of staff members that sit in on every one. I couldn't tell you which ones are, quote, members and which ones weren't. For instance, if we were to have a closed meeting, I'm not suggesting that we would do this, but let's suppose we decided we had to. Who would we be excluding?
No, well, in our meeting, it's pretty clear who is a voting member and who's not in our committee. You're not clear on who's the members of the committee?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Glenn, do you have input on this discussion or something else?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think that it would be good to send the draft of the
program committee
changes to Volunout so that the volunteers who are big stakeholders can look at it. I mean, it looks very reasonable to me, but I think that just in terms of process, it would be great for the volunteers to know that some changes are being considered, and this is what the new version is being offered, and they have some input.
Mm-hmm. Doug?
Regarding your question, it's within Susan, mine, and Jerry's job description to attend and be members of the Finance Committee. So from the staff side, the three of us actually are members of the Finance Committee, ex officio because of the positions that we hold, but we are voting members.
Right.
Like, I'm a voting member on this board. And, like, ex officio program committee members, Sybil and Molly, namely, are also voting members.
Right. And I'm not...
Yeah, no, but also to answer Jerry's question, ex officio just means you're not elected. Right. You're automatically a member because of the position that you hold in the organization.
But, for instance, you know, we have people who are regularly at the meeting. For instance, Dan, who's an employee, is he a member of the committee or not?
That's a good question. That's never been defined.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if we were to have, for instance, not that I see reason to, but if we need to define who's committee member and who's not, it's kind of, there's, Dan becomes kind of...
The discretion is Marty's.
Okay.
Oh, really?
You're the chair of the committee.
Is that... got a hand up over there.
Go ahead, Stuart.
Apparently, even great majors get committee mistakes, but Robert's Rules does state that ex-official members are not included when determining the number needed for a quorum and should not be counted when determining if a quorum is present. That makes... really no sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either.
It's how the university operates.
And then,
if somebody is so important that they are automatically on the committee by virtue of appeals, why would you not count them?
Then it should be in their operating procedures that is a voting member.
We can make it as part of our.
But as a default, it goes to.
Yeah. So
rules.
So.
But
the,
you'd say this person's ex officio doesn't vote,
I guess the only reason would be to make sure that.
Well, that would apply to a number of committees then.
Well,
Stuart.
Quorum and voting rights aren't the same thing, though.
No,
that's right.
Not usually, but.
But I think that's saying that.
No, that's how we've always counted, though, is if it's only quorum if you have voting rights.
But I think they're talking about not counting ex officio so it doesn't tilt the scales if enough of the elected members don't show up to a meeting.
Yeah.
So, say. You don't judge quorum out of the four people who are there when two of them are staff. I think that's what it's saying.
Yeah, if this is the case, it's going to be an issue for our charter because we only have five members who aren't staff. So if only one, that means if only one person's gone.
Mm-hmm. You have to define quorum in this document.
Well, I think we thought it was self-evident, but should we add... saying that everyone counts as quorum, or should we lower our quorum?
Maybe you want to have one or two people.
Lincoln, your document is then going to go to the Policy and Bylaws Committee, and between the two of you, you can figure that out.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, whatever makes the most sense. But it has to be written down. Otherwise, it will fall back.
So then maybe after that step, if it should go to the volunteers or any other feedback, I think that would be a real good step for getting buy-in on any changes. People don't feel like things are being done, they don't know about them.
Sure.
In the old charter, there was like a minimum number of votes was required to adopt something, but we took that out. So this is maybe a little bit more important now. Because fewer number of votes could trigger.
Yeah, you have to think about all the variations.
So both ex-official members typically have voting privileges.
Yeah.
However, that right may be excluded when stated such in the bylaws. If you have voting privileges, why would you, what is the logic of possibly not counting you as a quorum?
You can't do business with an employee-tilted heavy or ex-officio-heavy. You know, like when you have two ex-officio members on a committee of five people, if only one other person shows up, they've got quorum. But two out of the three are staff and can override the volunteers in every decision.
Well, I mean, that's a unique situation to us. Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that it's more about doing business and not the individual votes.
Is there consensus that ex-official members on our committee should be counted for quorum purposes and have voting rights?
Yeah, we can
define
it that way.
Yeah, I mean,
I would definitely support that.
You should. You're going to discuss that at your next bylaw committee meeting, right, and come up with a proposal, right? Is that what you're saying?
That's why he's asking.
I shouldn't comment on that.
I mean, it should be reviewed by bylaws first. I mean, so you guys can, like, dig into the
I know what I think. I'm asking if there's a consensus that the board agrees and that we'll just,
Take
care of it. Is there anybody who disagrees with the notion of ex officio members being counted for the quorum and having voting rights?
I'd like to see each committee at least consider it and make changes if they don't agree.
Okay.
But otherwise, as a general rule, there's a general rule. That's fine.
But I think Doug makes a point, too, or at least he points out the argument that you could have a quorum with no elected members.
Mm-hmm. With one, yeah.
No, you can't. What committee?
I mean, depending on how that gets written, you know.
What committee has a majority? On what committee would staff members constitute a quorum?
Finance.
What?
Well, the treasurer has committee. To be there.
Well, not necessarily.
No. Well, in our committee, there's three ex officios, so staff could be the majority of the quorum. In this case, because it could
Well, majority of the quorum and the quorum are different. I'm asking are there
but
any
the, no. But if the minimum number of people showed up, staff could potentially be a majority.
Could be a quorum.
And
if only ex officios show up, you could have a quorum.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
If we only had two elected members, three ex officio members, then the staff would make up the majority.
Yeah.
Which would generally be quorum. But that's another thing to identify is what is quorum.
Right.
Is it half plus one?
And you also have a
But the point I was trying to make is staff or ex officio members could then make whatever changes they wanted, theoretically.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it requires some consideration. I'm not willing to commit one way or the other at this point.
I've been indoctrinated into the university stuff.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. I was completely wrong. I was wrong. There's only two.
But you have a listener on there too, and they are.
But they're elected by the committee.
Yeah, that makes them ex officio, right?
No.
They're elected by ex officio.
Okay.
I completely retract my statement.
Molly and Sybil, the music and news are the only ex officio positions on the programming committee.
Right.
Okay.
But in our charter, it's listed as three ex officio, including the board, me.
Yeah, but that's elected by the board.
Jesus.
There's a board member that serves. You serve by virtue of being a board member, but you have been elected as a board member.
Yeah.
Right?
I know, but that's why I was confused, because in the language it says three.
But aren't you selected from the board if you say I'm willing to be the rep and the board says yes? Aren't you?
There's
one committee
you're a board
entirely
member.
Ex officio.
Yeah, I agree.
They need their own rules. I mean, we can do a blanket statement about what we agree, but maybe...
One is entirely?
Executive committee.
Executive,
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, right. I'm thinking staff, but yes, you're totally right.
The committee was named
a member. Bylaws and policies will take this up, and it's a meeting next month.
Okay. All right.
Sounds good.
I'd like to bring us back to the agenda. Does that, Lincoln, does that wrap up programming committee report?
Yep.
Anybody here from Community Advisory Board have a comment?
We're putting off the election of who's going to be the president, and we didn't do that last time.
We do it in February. February's the annual meeting. It's tomorrow.
We had planned to do it, though.
Yeah, we planned to do it.
But that's tomorrow, so nothing to report.
February
there.
Is the annual meeting for the CAB, the February meeting, and that's planned to go ahead.
Right, so there's nothing to report there.
Off.
I should remind everybody that Gwen and I are not members of the CAB, and therefore we don't vote. We're liaisons.
Mm-hmm.
That one's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about the fact that I'm considered a board liaison on the programming committee, but I vote?
It's very different. It's different. No, the Community Advisory Board is a unique board.
Yeah.
It needs to remain completely outside the organization and not have any volunteers involved.
No. What the word liaison meant at all.
Well, it's really for CAB only.
Yes. For ours. But CPB defines it for CAB.
Right.
Are we done with Community Advisory Board?
Yep.
We're going to move on to staff reports. Since Molly is here, did you want to add anything to your staff report? Molly, news talking. Okay.
Did you get everything you needed for
that
the ownership certification?
Yes. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome.
It's a new requirement. that we'll have to do every 2 years. So if you are still with us, and we hope you are, in 2 years you'll have to do it again. So that's the, it's off to the lawyers. They will prepare it, and then they will, I may have to get you to sign it, Dave.
Yep. You know my number. So.
I'll find you. So it's in their hands at the moment.
Good.
That is good. Now we're just working on that public file that's coming up. So.
Yep. Speaking of the public file coming up, there was somebody in NFCB, I think, was saying maybe we should have a backup to the FCC's online version of the public file in case the government shuts down.
Oh, in fact, yeah, the lawyers have said that they highly recommend it, which is funny to me that we have to
back up the government
for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have to. We also have to put a link on the front of our website to it once it is live.
Okay.
But I think Nathan and I have kind of chatted about it, about that, and I think
so let me give a quick synopsis to the board. The FCC requires every broadcaster, everybody who has a license to broadcast, keep a public file, which is all the communications between the FCC and the station and the reports that we have to file, and they're all in that public file, all organized, all there, knock on wood. And so now, rather than having that as paper documents in a manila folder, they will now be electronic documents in the FCC's website. But because of our situation with the government, sometimes when a government shutdown occurs, they can't guarantee things anymore when it's shut down. So we're going to keep a backup copy somehow, and Nathan and
yeah,
Molly will work on how that is accomplished.
A local copy. We still also have the hard copies, too, in the event of a total, we lose all of our data, you know, everything.
Yep.
Well, isn't that count enough?
Yeah, right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be reassemble, or hope we don't have to, but we do have an electronic copy, and then we'll have a hard copy in addition to the copy on our website and the copy on the FCC website.
Great.
It needs to be updated quarterly, is that right?
Well, there's different things that happen at different times, but the issues file is a quarterly report that I generate. Then there's the EDO report, you know, then there's the ownership report, then there's you know, any other communications that we have to file. So,
good.
The interesting thing is that it's going to be kind of like CCAP now, in that, you know, public records, like, say, criminal records, people, they were always public records, but you had to go to a courthouse and get them and dig up dirt on people.
Now you'll be able to do it online. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now that it's online, it's going to make access a lot easier for a lot more people, and it might also invite trolling, you know.
Yeah.
Imagine there could be people, it could make it easier to challenge a license, it could make it easier,
yeah,
you know, to scroll through our files and look for, you know, something in there that they don't like. So I'm slightly mm-hmm. worried about that, but
mm-hmm.
nothing to be done, really.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Susan's not here, but I think there was a listener sponsored development report there. So,
I didn't see it, seriously.
Oh, it's in the folder.
I bet it is, but try to access it sometimes. We were talking about that.
Okay, tonight. You and I are sitting down tomorrow morning.
No, I'm serious. We were talking about that tonight. I'm not trying to first.
No. We have to work on making sure that everybody can use the Google Docs and the Google Drive to make sure everybody can access things and
print them out.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be helpful on that note to do a training?
You bet.
That's what I'm saying.
You bet. Mac, okay. PC, cross-train.
Yep.
Could we set aside time
you bet.
For that
mm-hmm.
on the agenda?
Let's add it to the agenda right now.
Yeah.
As part of the board meeting or as a...
I would recommend that we come in early. If we have a 7 o'clock meeting... we set to 7 o'clock because Vicki Iden did the news, and then she was done with the news, and she could do the board. We don't have anybody now doing the news. Would anybody have a problem getting here at 6 o'clock p.m. In March to do a training on Google Drive and Docs?
Before the
board meeting.
Board meeting?
Yeah.
I would.
You would. Okay.
You'd have a trouble with that?
Yeah, I teach a class till 6.
Okay, okay. We could give you special dispensation.
If the permissions were all set, it would not be much of a problem. Meaning your permissions to go to be all I can say is in
would
the
you
past.
Be available next month?
I used to have them all the time, and then I would lose them a month, and then I'd get them back.
Nathan has a comment for you.
Yeah.
I would like to move our Google Drive over to Team Drive between now and then, which will be slightly different. It will allow much better permissions management.
Okay.
Sometime before then, I need to sit down with somebody on the board and go over, you know, from your access perspective, whoever would like to spend a little time on that. Okay. Good. Because I
think there was a little tepid response there.
Diana, we
have available because we have a Google domain. It allows documents to belong to the organization rather than to individuals.
Good. So, one other question is there an expense for us then?
No.
Okay. Cool.
I didn't mean to regret if anyone else wants to do it.
No, do it.
How long a training would it be?
Well, we're just going to do an hour. But
why don't you just get here when you can, Paul?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And sure. Nathan's going to change things, so it's going to be a little bit different for everybody. So even if you think you know it, you'll see some changes if Nathan is able to accomplish that change before the next meeting.
And the issue right now is that a lot of things are owned by the long-term development director, which is an account that I think is deprecated. So we're going to have to take ownership of those resources, move things around.
Mm-hmm.
There was like long-range planning because Johanna Carlson is the one that built that all along with the
And we didn't
portal.
Have the Google domain then, so.
So there will be a number of things that we'll need to change, and I need to do that with somebody on the board because technically I don't have access to that stuff. Oh, I do because I'm an admin, but I don't officially. So.
Okay, well,
the LRP account?
Yeah.
Yeah, is this stuff that's owned by LRP or stuff that's like on the board portal?
I don't know if we can recover that pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a document out there with the passwords, so. Of course, you have to be on the drive with the password in order to find the password to get on the drive, so.
Someone
gives me
the password.
Yes, that's right. Okay, well, and if you guys need anything from me, call me, so.
Sorry I'm late on this. I can't do that training next month.
Okay.
Actually, I have to teach. I would have to be at least an hour late to the board meeting.
No.
So I probably won't even be able to make the next board meeting.
Okay.
Maybe we have a coaching session.
I need it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you can always catch up after the fact. It's not like it's an easy system to use. Yeah. It's just where to put stuff. Yeah. Just folders.
Personally, people are going to be able to pick it up in 10 or 15 minutes, but to get the whole group, you know,
right.
It's going to take time. So,
I suggest that we also at that point go over like basic principles of logging into Gmail and Google accounts. I know there some folks are still having difficulty with that, so. Maybe we could break it up a little bit into that and then the
Yeah. Yep. It's great to be able to have shared access to the documents that we need without having to rely on paper. One of the problems that we've had with WART over the years is the institutional knowledge gets lost. We don't know what the board did 3 years ago, and we don't know what policies we've already hashed over, and that's a problem. That's a vision problem that this will help to correct. So I'm thrilled with this improvement. Yes.
So then someone with a sight disability that must print out everything to read it.
Uh-huh.
That's the issue I'm having. So will I, are you saying that we're just only going to be able to look at it on our little stinking screens?
No.
All right, good. Good.
No, not at all.
But yeah, everything else downloaded, got it all, no problem.
Yep.
It's just a couple of times all the time. Then I just say,
we should get you a big monitor, and then you can just have a big font on your monitor.
I'm also using a Mac, too. So that does. But yeah, I get it. Okay, thanks. Great.
Super. We can do this. Where were we?
Technology and facilities.
Yeah, that's right, Nathan. So did we discuss anything else? We're still tinkering around with the transmitter and the exciter, but the details are gory and don't.
Yeah, I mean, we're running on the new exciter, have been for a while. We had our certification of the RF proofing. We passed on everything except for 10 decibels over
our third harmonic.
Accepted standards on our third harmonic, but the guy that did the test didn't bring the filters that he needed to figure out whether that was just an artifact or whether it's actually coming from our line. So he has agreed. He's also the guy that will be doing our mock FCC inspection. So he's agreed to rerun, thank you, Dave, for talking to him about this, to rerun those tests when he's out for that. And it sounded from what he was saying when we were out there that he's pretty darn sure it's not.
Yeah, but you just have to be super cautious.
But what the FCC says is within 10 days you've got to have a proof done when you change the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say you have to have everything in that proof remedied.
Mm-hmm.
It just says you have to have it done. So we are well within the letter of the law there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually ambiguous about whether you need to do that if you're just replacing that exciter anyway. But anyway. Yeah, the other thing I know that I've heard from a couple folks is concerned about the leaks in the basement. I've got drywall off right now. I'm enlarging the crack so I can have to expose the second crack that we haven't dealt with before. That I didn't get in the report. But just...
And I will be working with Nathan to do water work outside so that our roof drainage drains further away from the building and doesn't.
Especially that the
south wall.
The east side.
That's not implicated in this stuff.
Oh, really?
Okay. This is.
Nathan and I disagree about that. But.
this is well away from that. It's coming right down the side of the building.
Yeah, that's the east side, isn't it?
No, that's the south side.
Well, we're at an angle.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
It's southeast.
It's
southeast.
Our side.
Yeah. Anyway, we're getting into minutiae that we don't need to be dealing with at the board.
Point is, I'm dealing with the inside of the cracks now. We'll deal with the outside once it warms up.
All right. I think that's the end of technology and facilities. Question.
Yeah. I have called in at least once, I think maybe twice, complaining about can't hear the host. And it's been, in particular, in the cases I called in, a female voice where you couldn't hear it at all. And I emailed Nathan about it, and Nathan, thinks it's the board operator. Okay, so, but I also noticed on the Mighty Volunteers, the Work Mighty Volunteers Facebook, somebody complaining about it also at a different time. So I am a little concerned about, if the board's being consistent,
Now you're using board in a different sense.
Yeah, I'm talking about the soundboard or whatever, the mixing board.
I can address that a little bit.
Okay.
We do have processors on there which do a pretty good job of bringing low levels up right there. So if you are still hearing low levels, that means someone is totally off the mic.
Okay.
It's been a long time since we had any sort of standard operational.
So we have some compression on the mic. Huh?
Yeah, we've got the compression of that, all that. So it's been a while since we had regular training done for people who use this stuff, so it might be time for a bit of re-education.
Might be something for the programming committee, is that right? I mean,
I would think domain? That just if it's a news program, it's a Mali issue. If it's a music program, it's a civil question, and they can talk to the host and say, hey, pay attention. That's all it is.
Your headphones a lot. Watch the meters.
Yeah, that's radio.
Pickup pattern for these mics, so we know where to talk.
I routinely had this problem over at Lakeside, where the music comes through fine, but the talking, and this is various different shows,
mm-hmm.
I can hardly hear this
right.
person talking. So, I don't know, maybe it's our equipment.
Yeah, but...
I'm telling you, it's the person.
If the person is talking and the microphone's over there, it's just, it's, oh, yeah. it's not good. And but it's not a board issue, it's, okay. it's an issue the staff can handle.
Right,
so.
Okay.
I don't know if I said this already, but... just to be clear, with the facilities working group, we're really trying to get as many people involved as we can, try to get, you know, people from the community and volunteers. So if anyone knows anyone who might be interested in that or have skills to bring to the table, please encourage them to come to the meeting.
Thank you. I think that finishes facilities and technology. Volunteer outreach. Did you have anything to add to your comments?
I don't know if I mentioned I was invited to go to the Optimist Club to do a presentation, which happened today. And Chris Powers joined me, and there were 13 optimists there, plus Chris and I. And it was a very nice group to present with, and we were received warmly and treated well.
Positively?
Yes.
That's good that they kept up with such
a and they gave each of us a plaque with the Optimist or whatever it is on it, and I was showing it to Nellie, and she noticed a typo, and then I noticed another one. they're optimists, but they're not great spellers.
They're not perfectionists, okay? They're just optimists.
Right. Improvement.
You can be one or the other.
The optimists need an optometrist.
Thank you, Glenn. Business and events. Anything to add?
Yeah, I just want to highlight a special night that happened last week. I was contacted by a listener who wanted to open his home for an evening concert with Irish fiddler Kevin Burke, who is one of the most, as some of you know, is the most one of the most renowned Irish fiddlers in the world. The listener underwrote the concert and paid the fee for Kevin Burke, paid the stipend, and then everyone who came in, there was about 45 people who came in and did not get charged an admission fee. Instead, they were asked to make a donation to Wart.
Oh,
nice. Before the concert started, I was there very early, and I got to meet Kevin Burke, and he is hysterical. He is very charming and very witty and everything you would imagine. And full of stories, but I was afforded the opportunity to address the audience beforehand and say a little spiel about Wart and solicit the donations. And I have to say the love of this station in that room in this affluent neighborhood on the west side, mm-hmm. You know, with some fairly highbrow people, I felt the universality of the love for Wart in this city in a way that I don't always feel at the festivals on Willie Street or in Central Park because they're very east side and kind of working class. And we tend to think of our listeners as being just working class Joes. But it was really interesting to see a completely different section of our audience base and those fans and people that really love Wart. And out of the 45 people who were there, we made over $1,000. In donations. It was truly incredible evening and very moving, and I just wanted to share that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Can I say that he's been in town before, and I talked to him once at he was here at the High Noon Saloon for the Celtic Fiddle Festival, and when I talked to him, I reminded him about a concert he did here at Bunkie's a long time ago with Michael O'Donnell. And he remembered it.
Wow.
You know, there's a couple other reasons he remembered it that I can't tell you about today. But the sound was, you know, magnificent at that concert, and he remembered that. So he, he has a real feel for Madison. You know, I was irritated I didn't get to go because it was also sold out. Yeah. But anyways, so he is somebody who's very special in terms of Madison,
going both ways. Oh, he likes it. People like him.
And had many nice things to say about community radio as well and the importance of it. So, yeah, it was fantastic evening.
Yeah, and I can't imagine a fiddler who's living now who plays Irish music better than he does.
Oh, it was...
Yeah, he was in the
bottom. Oh, mind-blowing.
Yes, he is.
What he does with an instrument, mind-blowing. I still don't know how he did some of that. Just, wow.
It's amazing when you watch them and you see them doing it and you don't know how they're doing it.
When I play fiddle.
All right, thank you. Anybody here who can address the promos and music assistant report?
Busy week. I'll just say that. Awful lot of underwriting, a lot going on with the pledge drive. Aaron's had a busy time, but I believe there's also major advancement with the digital library now being available. So there's a whole new way to play music.
All right. Does volunteers need training on that?
Yes, that's next.
Okay. Very good. I remember suggesting this long ago. We've been suggesting this for years, and we're waiting for the economics and the technology to catch up with knowing that it would work. But and there's also going to be some people who are our longtime volunteers, like John Kraniak, who thinks it's sacrilegious to digitize his stuff. So.
Yeah, we are. Once it leaves the building, or as it leaves the building.
I have one more thing from my report that I forgot. I just want to give a block party update, since it is our biggest fundraiser of the year. I, at this point, had some more stuff shake loose today. We now have 4 of 6 bands confirmed. These are the last 4 bands of the night. Going third is going to be Orquesta Salsol del Mad. They're a 14-piece Latin rhythm and soul band. It's actually Alfredo's band, who's a DJ here. And then fourth is November Criminals. They're from Milwaukee. They are a hip-hop polka band. Yeah, you're not even ready. You're not even ready for them. And then in the fifth slot is Madison favorite, BO5. So I love Cat and Andrew and Kelly and all those guys. So I'm really excited to have BO5 for our block party this year. And our headliner is this kick-ass blues band from Chicago that Sybil turned me on to. They had played Orton Park a while back, and they're called The Congregation. They have a female lead singer that just wails. So it's going to be a really great headline. We did really good on the spending on it, so we were able to get a lot of these bands at very reasonable prices. So it's looking really good so far. 2 more to confirm, and then we're good to go.
Great.
We're in Martin Luther King Drive still.
Yes.
So that's the same place.
Up against the fence.
No.
Because of the construction.
Yes.
So we'd love to have as much of the board turn out as possible. It's good to get our faces out there, and it's good for us to get the feedback from the community. Like Doug was describing, getting the feedback from this group on the west side, it really helps rejuvenate us to know that our community is out there and they care about what we do. So
it keeps me going.
Yeah.
As a fundraiser, definitely.
Yeah. All right. I think that's the end of reports. Anybody else have anything to add to reports? Moving on. Motion from the executive committee report. We asked the board's concurrence with the idea of using an outside accounting firm and further asked the board to refer this issue back to the executive committee, who, with consultation with the finance committee and with the staff, will request proposals from 3 accounting firms and bring a recommendation back to the board for the board's final approval in March. So that's a big mouthful. That's a lot of change. Discussion.
First of all, I think that's an unrealistically expedited schedule.
Yeah.
I don't believe we can write an RFP, issue an RFP, get a response, evaluate, and make a recommendation in time before the next board meeting.
Thank you.
Aspirational goal, though.
Other comments, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the process and about this, the sense of urgency that's been placed upon this, in that the expectation that it would get done as fast as it's been proposed. The process I like to see is to have the need defined, have the solution very well defined, the analysis of the solution, meaning it's been tossed out as an offhand fact that it's cost effective. And I want to see those figures. I want to see how we arrived at that offhand comment. I want to know our true cost and our true savings. I think that needs to be in front of everybody before we even decide that we're going to go outside the organization. So, I mean, I don't think we even reached the place to where we even decide that we're going to get quotes from companies. I want to make sure that we have defined the need, why we have decided that we need to hire some, that we are need to change what we're doing. You know, that we need to change the way we do things. Why?
Well, Jerry's retiring.
No, but that was subsequent to the decision.
Well, yeah, but it is.
Well, it enters into the calculus now. I agree. But that doesn't justify doing it.
I'm not asking you to approve the decision to approve the outside firm. I'm asking to refer this back to the executive committee, who will then coordinate with the finance committee and with anybody else who's interested. I'm sure your input would be desired and welcomed, and staff would be also welcome to talk about this. Dan has lots of ideas. Jerry has lots of ideas. So. Jerry, you have a comment.
Yeah, well, I think it's piggybacking on what Stephen just said. I think it's premature to make any decision that it would be better to go with an outside firm than to hire a competent new bookkeeper. Sure. And we don't know that at this point. Yeah. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done to figure that out before we approve anything here.
So I would be willing to scratch the March date from this proposal, and I would be willing to broaden the scope to say considering alternative solutions like hiring in-house. Okay?
Right.
So yeah, let's write this proposal up the way something everybody would be comfortable with.
The part we're skipping past is we haven't defined the need. We haven't decided why we need to have an action. And in my opinion, you have to get the need out there first, define the need, and then look at solutions for that. We've come to where we have the solution, and you haven't even convinced me that we have the need yet. But yet, you've defined a solution. What I'm asking you to do is define the need. Tell me where we're deficient, what problem we have to solve, where we're deficient. And then we can formulate a rational solution that meets the needs of that particular problem. I hate to see us get the solution so fast.
I'm thank you for your input. I'm going to ask for everybody's thoughts, who's got their hands raised,
sure.
And then we'll work on wordsmithing this proposal to meet the needs of the group. Stuart?
Well, I think the need has been identified by the fact that our bookkeeper is retiring. So there is an imminent. What's the date, Jerry?
I said the end of June, probably June 21st.
So then by midsummer, there is going to be a need for somebody to perform bookkeeping services. I mean, that's the need. I mean, there are additional needs that I think have been identified. I personally think the organization needs an administrator. I think it goes beyond merely bookkeeping. I think it has to do with various HR functions. It has to do with HR functions. It has to do with bookkeeping. It would be a non-supervisory position. But certainly there are administrative and financial needs that, that are about to become pressing. And, you know, maybe we identified the need too narrowly and should be directing the personnel, directing the executive committee in conjunction with the finance committee, the personnel committee, and the collective to identify the administrative tasks that need to be performed and propose how to address those.
Exactly.
But there are administrative needs that need to be addressed that arise by virtue of the fact that our bookkeeper is retiring.
Right. Okay, thanks. Lincoln?
And that we have administrative needs, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see this proposal as being a recommendation at all that we hire an outside firm. I just see it as saying that we get a quote so we can, or get quotes so that we can, even evaluate whether that makes sense. Because how do we know if we could save money until we've gotten the quotes?
How much it's going to cost.
Yeah.
That would be just necessary to make a decision.
Yeah,
I would agree. Dan, did you have your hand up before?
Yeah. I think the first thing to do as far as the bookkeeping is concerned is to do an RFP for bookkeeping. An RFP that delineates all the things that need to be done and all the different ways it's being done and all that kind of stuff, because I don't think you're going to get a very good quote from anybody without that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's also RFP needs for HR or whatever, then maybe
it's a separate
that could be separated or whatever. Yeah. But I think the bookkeeping needs an RFP for the whole bookkeeping module in order to get any kind of quote from anyone there because...
I understand. Thank you.
So yeah. I just think that that's the first step.
Okay. Comments from anybody else? Doug?
Yeah, I would just reiterate that I think it's important to explore both options, both outside sourcing and an in-house employee, because a lot of the administrative tasks that we're talking about would fall under the skill set of someone who's a competent bookkeeper, mm-hmm. things like payroll and the day-to-day administrative stuff, helping with onboarding new employees, office manager type of stuff.
Insurance,
mm-hmm.
all the HR.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Yeah, I fully agree with what Dan said. You know, we have to get all that information down, in front of us before we meet with any potential new employee or mm-hmm. Outside contractor. We have to know what we're talking about. The other thing I think that maybe this gives Ward a chance to think about is, do we need a financial manager going forward? We had one with Norm Stockwell previously. In paper, I guess Doug is...
The CPB requires it.
Yeah, but really we don't have a finance manager now.
No, not at this
point.
I want
to think about that going forward.
Mm-hmm. Steven.
Yeah, and also, in hiring and outsourcing some of this or all of it, what qualifications do we need? Do we really need a CPA would be another question I have. Can we hire a bookkeeping firm instead? We already get an audit from a CPA. Why is it? What's the huge benefit of paying that much more to have them day to day? Things like that. I just don't think some of the analysis has been... has been done.
I've got some comments to add, but I want to make sure everybody else has been heard first.
You can't have the same firm doing your bookkeeping that does your audit.
Okay.
So, but the thing of it is we have a CPA already. We have a CPA that we can use all the time that we haven't been using, and that is our auditor. And she is more than willing to have us call her every day if we need to.
No cost.
No, it's not bookkeeping. It's like
they can answer questions.
A CPA that we can use for financial consulting.
That's a volunteer.
Which is another thing that we're going to be talking about.
Part of the audit, what we pay for auditing, is what you're saying, includes consulting throughout the year. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
And for nothing. I mean, except for nothing more. That we pay for the audit. But it's two separate things, because you have the bookkeeping and then you have the financial management.
Right.
Or consulting, not a CPA that can do financial consulting is what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha.
And so we haven't really been using her. We had Cass for a while, but she was basically just setting up the new system that we changed mm-hmm. to and kind of going along with a lot of the stuff that auditors would need.
Hang on. Paul had a question?
Well, I'm just saying, everybody's been talking about different things here. This only talks about concurrence about the idea of going to an outside auditor. But we've been talking
about an outside accounting firm.
Accounting. But we're talking partly bookkeeping. We're partly talking CPA kind of stuff. If we're bringing in now HR and administrative, that's more than is here.
That's right.
And this is only outside. We should be considering inside, meaning all of that has to go to the executive committee and finance and staff and whatnot. I mean, in other words, if you ask me to concur with this, I'm going to say no.
No, he's already said he was going
to
change.
No, I know. I'm just saying mm-hmm. this is what we
understood.
Have to add in
I understand.
To a new proposal.
Doug first, and Stephen again.
This from the staff meeting yesterday. Regarding this conversation, their recommendation is for the finance committee to draft the duties of not only the bookkeeper, either hired or contracted, in addition to a financial manager, and the duties of the treasurer to also be explained more fully so that all three positions know what's expected.
So I think that what I take from that is that we don't have a position description for the bookkeeper, and
we do.
Oh, okay.
We do.
You want it to be clearer than it is.
Well, we need to, I think, verify that it covers everything.
Okay.
That's being done.
Okay.
That's the easy one.
Okay. And then we need a position description for the
financial manager.
No, for the
treasurer.
Those two.
From what you said about the staff, right?
Yeah, in addition to the financial manager, who would be the supervisor of either an in-house bookkeeper or responsible for the contracted service as a full-time staff collective member.
Okay.
So,
Stephen?
Yeah, so I, at the risk of repeating myself, I get concerned about the process and that we... What I would hope that we would do is define our needs clearly and formulate some solutions that address those needs and figure out the best fit and the most affordable and what we can do based upon how we've defined what our needs are. If we get into this business of saying, well, there's this solution and this solution and this, we're not really talking about what our needs are as much as talking about solutions, and I just hope that we can write down, this is what we need. We need this, 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 and this. How are we going to get this, this, and this, and this? Well, we're going to hire somebody who can handle 8 out of 10 of those things. That sounds like a good idea. Maybe we can kick those other ones off or whatever. But I would personally like us to be able to identify those needs very clearly. Anyway.
Okay. I would like to add something here, but Stuart, go ahead.
Well, I was going to make a motion, but you want to say what you want to say first?
In talking to the two firms that I've talked to already, one of the things that occurs to me is that an outside firm can bring something to us that we haven't considered yet. There are newer ways of doing accounting and finance that are more modern, that are more online, that take fewer hours to do. And I would like to make sure that we consider new processes, more efficient processes, rather than saying this is the way we've already always done what we do, and make sure that those things are considered in our discussion. So I'm not saying we have to throw everything we do out. I'm saying it's prudent to listen to what other firms are offering or what other options we can use. So... that was my thought.
I would like to make a comment.
I would welcome your comment.
When I read these emails between the executive committee, Jerry Chernow and others, I note that this, what we're talking about at this table right now, was not because Jerry quit. Jerry put in notice after
email.
All right. I just want that to be mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
We are not talking about that, all of this due because you're quitting.
Right.
But the fact that I get it,
but I just want it to be noted.
It gives us 4 months.
Yeah.
Stuart.
Well, I have a question which Jerry and or Dan can answer. What happens if we do nothing and prior to Jerry's retirement?
That's not an option.
Well,
no, I would.
Everything is an option. I want to know what happens.
I would like to respond to that first, and then I'll ask for input.
And then once I get an answer to that, then I have a motion to make. What happens?
I have an answer. Neither one of us want to continue doing it. Neither one of us want to continue doing it.
Okay.
But that doesn't really answer. I mean, to me, Stu's question is, what happens if nobody's doing it?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if nobody is keeping books?
It isn't going to be me and Jerry.
Okay.
No, but it doesn't answer
the
question.
We all agree that's not an option.
Doug and I taking on more work again.
Right.
Well, okay. Right.
Okay. Okay. So
Stuart, you offered or I'll offer it.
Okay. So this effectively means we have until June 21st to make either a hiring or a contracting decision to have somebody perform necessary duties.
Right.
Now, we know what some of those necessary duties are. We do not know the fullest extent of those necessary duties. So I think what should happen is that the board should direct the executive committee to consult with the finance committee, the personnel committee, and the staff collective develop a list of necessary duties. I think the first thing is to identify the duties and then write the RFP identifying the duties.
I've already done that, though.
Well, then it'll be a quick consultation.
That's right.
Personally, I think, as I said previously, it's more than just the bookkeeping. There are other administrative tasks. It that may be too much for one contract, one RFP, one consultant, but we need. I'll move to direct that the board direct the executive committee to report at the next meeting on a preliminary RFP for manner in which to provide necessary bookkeeping and other appropriate duties. And once we get those duties in an RFP, then we will understand the process.
Stand by for just a minute.
To understand the process to fill them.
Let's make sure Jane catches up with Stuart.
Okay, let's say it again.
The board directs the executive committee to consult with the finance committee, personnel, and staff collective to identify necessary financial administrative duties customarily performed by a bookkeeper.
Okay. In addition.
I'm sorry.
Hang on, let him finish.
I just jumped ahead a little bit.
and other appropriate duties and report at the next meeting and submit a draft RFP at the next meeting.
I'd like to add something to your proposal.
Yeah.
Could you hang on a second?
I need a second first.
As soon as she's ready.
Yes.
As soon as Jane's ready.
Let's let Jane catch up.
Yeah.
And then stand
by. The last sentence, moving. Would you?
let
a draft of what?
And submit a draft RFP.
RFP. Okay.
She's going to read it back in a second. Let her
Okay.
Read it.
Okay. What I've got is the board directs the executive committee to consult with the finance committee, personnel committee, and staff collective to identify necessary financial and administrative duties customarily performed by a bookkeeper. And I think there was something else.
And other related duties.
Administrative duties.
Other related administrative duties.
Gotcha. And submit a draft RFP to the next March board meeting.
I would like to add, when you say staff collective, I'd like to add in finance staff. into this proposal.
Because they're not in the collective.
We're not in the collective.
But you're part of the finance committee.
Yeah, but we're the ones who are going to come up with the bulk of this information.
That's friendly, sure. It needs a second.
Seconded.
So I have a question.
Hold on. Paul seconded, yes. So let Jane catch up. It's really hard to be a secretary to this group.
I'll just glare at everybody. Hang on. Okay. So I have that adjustment to say the staff collective and the finance staff.
Yes.
Okay. Fine. And then I have Stu moves. Paul just seconds. Now discussion, right?
Yep. Are we ready for a vote?
So, no. Question. So, help me understand. You know, normally when I think of an RFP as being going out to outside, you know, that gets sent to people who can fulfill it. Is that what we're saying? I mean, I'm not clear. Or is an RFP a job description? I mean,
Can we take a five-minute break here? We need a bio break. Yeah. Can we?
That'll be great.
If it's just me,
stop for just a minute.
Do it on the fly. Okay.
We could look.
To complete the thought. I mean, and you can wait to answer, but an RFP implies that the solution resides outside the.
It just says to potential suppliers, so that could be an internal.
But I think you said preliminary RFP also. Yeah.
An RFP just means I think it's pretty squishy.
Yeah, so preliminary.
I'd say draft RFP or job description. Yeah, and or job description.
Yeah,
something like that.
I mean,
and that's it's like a local version of EDP, kind of, basically.
So okay,
I would accept as a friendly amendment, adding the words or position description after draft RFP.
Okay.
With my second, will my second accept that as a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice. Thank you, Stu.
RFP with over position descriptions.
Let me make sure.
Okay, so I would submit a draft or position description to the next March board meeting.
Steven.
I'd like to add or suggest that we add ultimately if there's an RFP for outside. Or recommendation for a company to do this, that if any of the board members have a relationship with that company, that they don't vote.
That's standard.
That's standard.
Unnecessary.
Yeah. And let's not define so much that the committee can't do the exploration they need to do.
I just don't want to see conflicts of interest.
That goes without saying.
Okay.
We do have to report on conflicts of interest to the FCC and the IRS 94. Maybe not the FCC, but CPB and the 990.
Okay. That goes without saying.
And it's good practices, good business practices.
It's a basic concept of board governance.
Are there any other issues of discussion before we vote on this referral to committee? Going once, going twice. All in favor of referring this to committee, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Any abstentions?
Abstention.
Steve, you
yeah.
You
abstaining? Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a conflict?
No.
What is the extension based on?
He can abstain.
Yeah, he doesn't need to explain it to anybody.
The motion carries. Item 8, the auditor report. The audit is not done yet.
That's the report.
Yeah, that's what I put down. not completed.
Item 9, we had a communication from our former public affair host, Karma Chavez, that she's producing a book based on a transcript of a public affair shows that she was the host on.
Yay, Karma.
And
awesome.
We're not quite sure about whether or not things that we do over the air are copyrighted, and that's something that we want to think about further. But in any case, we can make a motion here, assuming that they are copyrighted for WRT, to permit Karma to do this book. So,
I so move.
Mm-hmm. Seconded. Yeah.
I would just say, I feel like volunteer-produced content wouldn't necessarily be a copyrighted to the station. Like, just because it went on the air, they don't. The person who produced it didn't lose.
Let's not litigate that at the meeting.
I just don't want this to, like, entail.
This is just to make sure
I see what you're saying. No, so, I mean, can we just propose... because the actual item doesn't say anything about copyright.
Yeah, no problem with that.
I move that we approve Karma to go ahead and use her transcripts to write her book.
Question over here.
Yeah, we're open to discussion, right? So,
I would
say, hey, maybe it would be interesting in cases like this to just have a formal licensing program, and that we ask for a certain royalty or whatever.
She was actually, the next hand up, is that she said that she's going to give royalties to WRT.
Right. Yeah, rather than discussing it each time this sort of thing comes up, if we had a formalized, we're going to allow you to license, or we're going to license this content, and here's our royalty, here's our licensing agreement, and you agree to pay whatever it is. You know, it doesn't have to be a lot.
So I take your comment to mean we should investigate the concept of rights for intellectual property of WRT. I agree.
Points out this is currently in the volunteer handbook that the programming is the property of WART.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't preclude that we'd have a licensing plan.
Yep.
And that we don't have to discuss it and all that. That it's spelled out. And if you want to, if you're a volunteer and you have content that you want to use, this is what you have to pay, or this is what you have to sign. You know, these are the terms.
That's not germane to this issue. Proposal.
This particular issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a point well taken.
I'll put it in the parking lot.
All right.
So it's been moved and seconded that we give Karma the okay to
ramp up this.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Okay.
Can I say something about that?
Yes.
In one of the reports, there was reference to Peter Allen having
that's right.
Content also.
Music.
And as if this was going to come back to WART. Mm-hmm. It's odd that it wasn't here in the first place, to me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's in the report.
It's in one of the reports. He did various concerts here and whatnot.
Right, right.
Some of them went to YouTube. But apparently he has others which are going to come back to WART. So this is an issue that I think we have to deal with at some point, is what happens to the... to the content here, you know, does it stay here? Does the programmer have a copy?
Can we refer this to
the
music director?
Some of it's copyrighted content.
Yeah, music director.
And then they try and resell it, and we only can use it for 2 weeks or whatever. And I don't really understand all the rules, but, I mean, if we have limited use of it, but then somebody takes it and tries to resell it, it could then come back on us, I would think.
You lost me there.
Okay.
I don't think we should create a problem where it hasn't already been.
Okay, let's do it. That's good.
Did we vote on this proposal?
Yes.
We voted on Karma, yes.
And were there, did I do all three?
Yes.
Okay.
We're done.
We're done with that. Okay. Yes. Item 10, contract negotiation timeline and board subcommittee.
Do you guys want me to leave for this?
No.
It's about timeline and forming a committee. I don't think.
Come on, it's the last item. Let me go.
It concerns you, but.
Is this the union contract we're talking about?
Well, see, don't ask. Just a timeline.
Yeah, you union.
I would just remind you all that when it comes down the road for actual negotiation discussion on a board level, that you want to do in a closed session after.
Yeah, it's not about that.
Thank you.
I'm just saying for the new people, Gil.
So I did not write down the actual timeline that you sent, so I could, if you wanted to review that.
I sent it by email.
Glenn's got it. Are you the guy?
February, but basically, the staff's going to meet with our rep in April, and we just need to board these to decide what their negotiating committee will be. Right. In the last three negotiations, the board has had a subset of the full board that's been the negotiating team.
Yep.
And then the staff has already identified some dates in May that we could meet during the day or during the evening. It's Wednesdays and Thursdays that our union rep is available. And
so are those meetings held here?
Pardon?
Are those meetings held here at the station?
Yes.
Okay.
They can be,
And once you determine who's going to be on your team, then we can send those dates around and we can put our calendars together. And the staff has identified 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days, of which we'll need 2 or 3 maximum in May. And then we can set like 2 and an additional one if we had some leftover business that we couldn't get to in 2 meetings. We should be able to resolve this in 2 meetings, I think. And so that's basically the process. I have given the union rep to Professor Joyner, and SEIU Local 150 in Milwaukee. I've given him all the updated information for the, he'll do a certified letter, notice to negotiate in April.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll file with through the state and the federal mediation service or something. There's 2 different forms that he files. He's got all the updated information for those to submit them correctly, and got your contact information, Dave. And
thank you.
You will be receiving the
great
notice to negotiate. So that's the timeline, basically. So go ahead. Through the end of June. So, you know, if we're finished by May, that's great, because we have press drive and an annual meeting in June. June's a very busy time.
Gil.
So we talked a little bit about this at the personnel committee meeting that took place just before our meeting tonight.
Okay.
And I don't know if we want to do this right now, but we came up with a proposal for to nominate a couple of people for that committee. Do we want to go through that process at this meeting and actually form the committee?
I would be open to that.
Okay, so in our discussion among the three of us, I volunteered and we decided the committee would like to nominate and encourage Jerry to be on it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so that's my proposal.
That's a little strange.
What? Yeah, with all due respect, I am uneasy about having someone who has a staff identity on the board.
He's not part of the collective.
That's besides the point. He is an employee.
I raised it. You can take criticism.
Which I'm doing. And with all due respect to Jerry, I think that's a really bad idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel uneasy about it myself.
Okay.
All right.
It puts him in a conflict of interest situation.
For the committee, other than that, or should we not want to do that tonight?
I would love to do that. So who did you suggest?
Me.
Okay.
Actually, I did. I suggested.
That's okay. Kathy suggested me.
2 out of 3 of us voted for Gil.
You want to be on?
We need more.
Okay. I think I would like to be on that committee. I think I have to be on that committee because I'm the president.
It's definitely appropriate.
I would like to have somebody else on that committee. Would somebody else like to be on the committee?
You want to do it, Marty?
No, I don't think I... As a 30-year union rep, I don't think I would.
Yeah. You've been on the other side.
Yeah. I wanted to find the commitment a little bit.
Huh? I got a yes in the corner over here.
Would you like to be on the committee, sir?
I was going to recommend the time
commitment. Good.
I think your experience is really valuable.
I think so, too.
A couple hours.
Yeah.
Yay. So was 3 board members in it?
I don't have experience in this. Do you have experience in this? How many board members have we had in the past?
3 or 4.
3 would be good, I think.
It's like a good number. Personnel committee that's had the laboring oar,
as
a general rule, as I recall.
So it's been
I think
all
it's
the
been
members
the president. Or when I was on it before, it was the president, and I didn't have anything to do with it.
I'm trying to think who it was last year.
3 is a good number for me, as long as we're not undersized.
Sounds good. You were on it last time. And if it seems under
2 years ago, Glenn.
Come bring it back.
We didn't reopen last year.
Right.
Okay, right.
Right, right. I forgot we had the reopening.
Since we're talking out of order, I would just like to add the reason why I nominated Jerry was because he has plenty of union contract experience, lifelong.
From the other side.
Absolutely. I know that from the other side, but, you know, it is a sticky wicket. And so.
You know, I have had experience on the board in the past. I have spent 6 years previously on the board and have dealt with, I think, two different union negotiations. And I was stunned with how smooth and how amazing the process goes. Sure. So this organization is different than many. And so
knock on wood.
The staff is an amazing group of people, and I don't expect any problems. We don't have a situation with the board where there's an enmity between the board and the staff. I think we're getting along pretty well. I don't think we have any major crises that have to be adjudicated over whatever with the contract. So I'm not expecting any problems. We may have to go into closed session to say, are there any things that we should change in that? But I think what I'd like to do is ask everybody, if you have access to the Google Drive, the contract, the existing contract is out there,
yep.
And you can look at the contract and see if there's anything that you think needs to be changed. Stephen.
Yeah, and just in interest of full disclosure, not that I'm objecting at all, but I, for instance, have you been a union member?
Yes.
And for how many years?
20 some years, yeah.
Yeah, so how does that fact, how does that make you more qualified than Jerry? And not that I'm saying you shouldn't, and not that I'm saying Jerry shouldn't, but I mean, we immediately disqualified Jerry for his participation. And well, also, he's a staff member.
He's a staff member, not because he was a union member.
Sorry.
Staff, that was the conflict there. Because he has friends who are on the collective, and we wouldn't want to put him in a conflict.
Gotcha.
Nathan.
I would just like to note that at the annual meeting, I believe the question of Jerry's recusing himself from the contract negotiation came up, and Jerry said at that point that, of course, he would recuse himself.
That's
so
right.
This is a non-issue.
Okay.
That's right. Yes. Well,
I've been a union member, too, and I've been married to a union member. So. Oh,
me, too.
And I've negotiated on the Board of Education.
The Board of Education.
So we're just going to roll over
that. We're doing
all
the
Oh my God, are we done?
I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make it.
Doug made a motion to adjourn. Do we have a second? Jerry was the first to hit. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Oh, Nathan, did you have a question? Wait.
Someday I'd like to go over our to-do list, but that doesn't have to happen right now.
I was
going to
jokingly.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what is that?
And it will stay on there as a to-do list.
Motion to adjourn is non-debatable.
That's true.
Robert's
That's
rules.
True.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Next month's.